NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Weilin Wong.
And I'm Darian Woods. There are about $300 billion of Russian assets stashed at banks and financial institutions in the US and Europe. These assets were frozen by Western sanctions after Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022.
It is a tantalizing pot of money, especially now that a bill to send more aid to Ukraine is languishing in the US Congress. Ukraine needs money for fighting the war and rebuilding its economy. And there's $300 billion of Russian assets sitting right there.
I mean, it looks tempting, but, you know, not so fast. Seizing or confiscating property that belongs to a sovereign state could be a violation of international law. So instead, policymakers are floating ideas for workarounds. They're brainstorming ways for the US and its allies to get their metaphorical mitts on this money without infringing on Russia's property rights.
Today on the show, we learn about the under-the-radar depository in Belgium, where most of Russia's frozen assets are stored. And we hear two proposals for how Western countries could get some of this money to Ukraine.
This message comes from Apple Card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase. That's 3% on products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Support for NPR comes from ADP. Don't know if you've heard, but the latest workplace trend is currently sneaking up on your business. What is it? Could be anything. The great cubicle comeback, maybe a global bagel shortage. Dealing with anything is what ADP does best, something they've been doing for over 70 years. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions so businesses are ready for the next anything. ADP. Always designing for people.
When you hear about $300 billion in frozen Russian assets, you might think of piles of gold or maybe cash that's held in US dollars and euros. And some of these frozen Russian assets are in gold and cash.
But nearly 200 of the $300 billion are in the form of investments, like foreign government bonds. These are bonds the Russian Central Bank has bought from other countries. And these bonds are stored at a place called Euroclear in Belgium.
Nicolas Ferron is an economist at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says Euroclear is an important piece of infrastructure for the global financial system. It's one of just a few places in the world where central banks and big investment firms deposit their holdings of stocks and bonds.
In the olden days, that would mean that they had a vault with stacks of papers. Now, of course, it's all electronics, but it's basically the same function.
The Central Bank of Russia was storing its bond holdings at Euroclear before the full-scale war with Ukraine started in 2022. When Western countries put sanctions in place, Russia lost access to those investments.
And here's where things have gotten interesting. Those bonds that belong to Russia at Euroclear have been generating cash over the last 2 years. That's because the bonds have paid out interest or they have come due and paid back their face value.
Under normal circumstances, Russia would have withdrawn this cash or used it to buy more bonds. But because Western sanctions keep Russia from touching that money, all that cash is just piled up.
The fact that the Central Bank of Russia has so much cash at Euroclear now is entirely a consequence of the sanctions and something highly unusual.
And here's something else unusual. Euroclear is making money on this Russian cash. It's doing that by earning interest on this cash pile.
So Euroclear is earning cash on Russia's cash.
Exactly. Cash on cash. Nicolas estimates that this interest income could be as much as $11 billion a year. And it's basically gravy for Euroclear, which normally doesn't keep much cash on its balance sheet.
This is a windfall profit for Euroclear. It's not part of their business model. It's not their ordinary activity. The cash business is not their business.
And now European officials want to take this gravy and transfer it from Euroclear to Ukraine. Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission, pitched this idea last week in a speech to the European Parliament.
It is time to start a conversation about using the windfall profits of frozen Russian assets to jointly purchase military equipment for Ukraine. There could be no stronger symbol and no greater use for that money than to make Ukraine and all of Europe a safer place to live.
Symbol is an important word here. Up to $11 billion, it's not nothing, but it's pretty small compared with the cost of the war. Still, in February, the European Union adopted a law that would require businesses like Euroclear to set aside windfall profits from Russian assets. This was seen as a first step toward maybe getting those profits into Ukrainian hands. And the CEO of Euroclear told the Financial Times she was amenable to the idea.
But others are skeptical. Lee Bukite is a retired lawyer who spent most of his 40-plus year career helping governments restructure their debts.
What were some of your most memorable countries that you worked with?
Greece in 2011 and 2012, when the European Monetary Union was hanging in the balance. Iraq, after Saddam Hussein was asked to leave.
So Lee knows his way around complex matters of international law and finance. He thinks Russia could argue that it's entitled to this interest income, and that if Euroclear hands this windfall over to the EU, that could be like illegally confiscating Russian property.
Trying to justify it by saying that technically Russia doesn't own those investment earnings. Russia will, of course, say, we only don't own them because of your sanctions. If I were to steal the sprinkles on your ice cream cone, but left you the rest of it, am I not still a thief?
I did want to acknowledge we've gone from gravy to ice cream here.
Yeah, don't mix the two.
And, you know, Lee does support the idea of trying to get frozen Russian assets to Ukraine. He has his own proposal. He recently co-authored a paper with a financial commentator at Reuters and an economist who since joined the White House. Their idea involves a bit of financial engineering, and it's built around Ukraine's case for reparations.
What Ukraine has and will have is an indubitable claim for reparations against Russia. International law is perfectly clear about that. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars of damages.
So here's how the proposal would work. Ukraine would take out a loan from the countries in the G7, that's countries like the US, Canada, Japan, France, and Ukraine would pledge its reparations claim against Russia as collateral for this money it's borrowing.
Now, Lee is pretty sure that Russia will not pay reparations while Vladimir Putin is in power. But that's the whole point. When Russia refuses to pay, then Ukraine can't pay back the G7. And the G7 will call in Ukraine's collateral, which is its claim for reparations.
Now the reparations claim belongs to the G7. And those countries can take the frozen Russian assets in their custody and say, we'll use these assets to settle the claim. Thanks very much.
Call it an involuntary payment of reparations. The moral case for using these frozen assets to defray the expenses of the reconstruction of Ukraine, that case, to my mind, is invincible.
The moral case may be invincible, but the legal case is likely to get challenged if the G7 countries try this tactic or other financial maneuvers. After all, $300 billion of frozen Russian assets are on the line.
Will Russia go gentle into the good night of saying adios to $300 billion? Maybe not. In which case, I think it would be up to Russia to go into the municipal courts of the G7 countries and challenge it. Believe me, the lawyers will advance whatever they can.
Lawyer's going to lawyer.
Yeah.
And as for what Ukraine wants, the country's prime minister said recently that he wants the frozen Russian assets to pay for reconstruction. Ukraine's economy has shrunk more than 25% since the war started. And one estimate puts the price tag for reconstruction at almost $500 billion.
That means that even if Ukraine is able to get all of these $300 billion in frozen Russian assets, it will still need a lot of help from the international community to rebuild. This episode was produced by Cooper Katz-McKim with engineering by Neil Rauch. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Kicking Cannon is our editor, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.